two.
Okay. It's a bit of a tongue twister, isn't it? She sees Spanish ships. Matthew has had a troubled look about him lately. I've noticed quite a change in him. He called last week to cancel his talk for our group meeting, a most unusual thing for him to do. I discovered afterwards that it had something to do with Frances. In truth, that didn't surprise me. If she's in strife, she has a strong ally in Matthew. He is capable of fierce loyalty where she is concerned. As it happens, he confides in me a week later. He looks tired and drawn, as though he's not slept, and calls me in as I'm having breakfast. Usually, I don't go to work on Saturday morning, but on this particular day, I have an early appointment with an architect and can't give Matthew the time he needs to talk about Frances. However, he drives in with me to the city and gets a bit off his chest on the way. "She keeps seeing ships," he says, in a rather numb fashion. "Ships?" I question him. "Spanish ships." "She says there are two in the bay, and I drove down to Beaumaris last night just after sunset. I could see nothing, not even a shadow. Well, the ship to Tasmania was on the horizon for a while, but after that..." I think about Frances. She has always been a bit strange. Well, strange in a rather nice way. She was very arty and also very pretty. She still is. She did a painting for me of one of her ships, Matt says, and it's beautiful, perfect, in fact. I ask him if he thought of photographing one of her ships, and he laughs. "There are no ships." It was a hollow laugh. Later on, Sally and I go to visit Matthew and Frances, and I notice the painting of the Spanish ship in their lounge room. "Is your painting for sale?" I ask her. She takes some time to answer. "Do you like it?" she asks, and when I say yes, she tells me that it is her only painting that is not for sale, and I can tell that she means it. I notice Matthew look at me when I ask her where she got the model for the painting from. She answers the question without a moment's hesitation. "Still life. I saw it in the bay." I have no intention of intruding on their problem, although it doesn't seem to be a problem for Frances. I can't seem to leave the subject alone, so I say, "Port Phillip Bay," and wait for her response. "Matt was with me," she says, and looks at him. I wait for him to say something, but it's as though he doesn't hear her. I'm wishing I hadn't broached the subject and am trying desperately to get away from the talk of the sea. It can be quite treacherous out in that bay. It looks so safe, but when the weather changes, all hell can break loose, I hear myself saying. "Do you like Spanish culture?" she asks, and Matt sits quietly in his chair and lights up his pipe. I've never noticed it before, but Matt has quite a Spanish look about him. There's a bit of an eerie presence in this room. I won't be surprised at anything that may happen. My imagination is playing tricks on me. I shouldn't have got into this conversation in the first place, and I shouldn't have carried on with it. "Are the ships still there?" I say, and almost immediately it seems we are in the car, heading for the bay. I sense that Matthew is furious with me. It is 9:30 and very still, and a very still, clear moonlight night. We are the only car on the foreshore. The smoke from Matthew's pipe is heavy in the air, and he is silent. Frances stops the car. "Look," she says. "Aren't they beautiful? Have you ever seen anything as beautiful?" I hear Matthew sigh, but otherwise he remains silent. There doesn't seem to be a ripple on the water. It is still and quiet in the bay. I wonder, do the seagulls sleep at night, and where do they go? I can't smell the sea for the odour of Matthew's pipe, and my mind is filled with questions, and yet, conversely, it is clear. The silence seems to be relevant to the moment. Matthew shivers and leaves the car to rekindle his pipe. There's no trace of a wind, and his pipe lights up quickly. That done, he gets quickly back into the car, and in that brief moment of light, when the door is open, I notice how deep and dark his eyes are. There is that continental look again, No mistake about it. There is nostalgia all around me. I spent the years of my early childhood at my grandmother's cottage in Beaumaris. She would take us up to Ricketts Point for day-long picnics, and my siblings and I would walk around the rock pools for hours on end. They knocked down her old house last year, and I feel sad about that. It was on a large allotment, and there is now a modern two-story Spanish-type house with white shutters on the site. The two old pine trees are still growing. They were a bit of a landmark for us. Grandma had never lived anywhere but Beaumaris and had never regretted it. I look out to the sea. The ships are well lit, and the moon shines on them like a theatre light. I don't notice any stars at first, but now they are so bright they could almost be seen reflected in the water. Like Frances, I love ships, especially Spanish ones. As she says, they are beautiful. I am inclined to agree with her too when she says that Matthew has been acting strangely lately. That's a bit lengthy for a short story, I suppose.
Nance Cookson reading from She Sees Spanish Ships, published by Ginninderra Press in 2000.
Yes, 2000.
You never give up, do you, Nance?
No, I don't. And I'm not going to send my work to anybody else but Ginninderra Press, because I feel as though I'd be a traitor. But that's if I talk anymore.
I feel the same way sometimes. Yeah.